Hello and welcome to another episode of Ben Behaving Dadly with me, Ben Hanlon, the podcast where I sit down with celebrity parents and try and get their best parenting tips and advice from the small little hacks to the real big stuff. Well, hello, here we go. Episode 3 of the podcast. Last week was Ore. Thank you for your lovely DMs about that. He was great, wasn't he? Very, very good. So I tell you what, before I dive into today's episode with Blake Harrison, a lot of you will know him as Neil from The Inbetweeners, but he has done quite a lot since then, as you'll hear in the official introduction. I'm going to be honest with you, everybody. I wish you could be seeing me right now. I wish this was visual, because what a treat you would have. I am wearing shorts. The sun is shining. Oh my gosh, it feels like we've turned a corner. I was literally just saying to Bryony, how good is it that we don't have to go out of the house and put about a million layers on our children every time we leave the house? They no longer have to go out like that episode of Joey from Friends where he wears all the clothes. So I feel like this is good. We, you know, when I'm recording this, we are rolling into Easter holidays. So if we get a little bit of this for a few weeks, I feel like it's making parenting a lot easier. Also as well, a few other little wins I've had this week. Let's just talk about some wins. I always ask the question, I ask it on a lot of the episodes, what's the best parenting gadget you've bought? Recently, we've been having a massive win. We have bought, I'm not being paid for this, not a plug, we've bought a micro scooter for Delilah. Not exactly revolutionary. However, she's only like, she's only what, she's 21 months. And this micro scooter has got a seat on it, and it's got a long extractable thing that we then hold at the back. So she's sitting on the scooter as I'm pushing her, and then it'll turn into the scooter. She loves it. So if you've got young ones that aren't quite old enough to scooch yet, think about getting a micro scooter with a sit on. There we go. Like I say, not a plug. And what's the other win I've had this week? Line of Duty. It's just brilliant, isn't it? I mean, that's it. Do you know what? I've just realised I've set myself a new goal. I'm going to get one of the Line of Dutyers on this podcast. I'm sure one of them must be a parent. Anyway, right. This week's episode, it's Blake Harrison. And me and him had such a great chat. We were chatting for ages. I've had to cut some of it out. It was that long, but it was brilliant. We covered all sorts. I mean, oh, you're in for a treat. If you've ever wondered how to get a raisin or object out of your child's nose, then you're going to learn that. He has actually given me genuinely a great tip about getting your kids to brush their teeth. And since recording this, I've used it every single day. So there's that. We cover positive affirmations, which I didn't know we were going to cover, but that was great. And also his most embarrassing moment where he takes his little one swimming. I'm not going to say any more than that. I hope you enjoy the episode. As always, please drop me a DM on all socials. Please give this a subscribe and review it. That would mean a lot. It really helps the podcast. I hope you enjoy this episode as much as I did. And here it is. My guest today is Blake Harrison. Born and raised in Southeast London in 2008, Blake played the unforgettable role of Neil Sutherland in the BAFTA award-winning Inbetweeners. Neil was gentle, gullible, and when needed, he was able to punch a fish to death, which proved useful. Since then, Blake has gone on to star in Him and Her, Dad's Army, A Very English Scandal with Hugh Grant, which is on the iPlayer, by the way. You should definitely check that out. I watched it the other night. It's brilliant. World on Fire, and most recently, Jack and the Beanstalk with David Walliams. And he's even turned his hand to musicals in 2019, playing the part of Ogie in Waitress. But we're not going to talk about any of that today, because more importantly, Blake met his wife, Kerry, 11 years ago. They've been married for 5 years. They've got two kids, Autumn, who is 7, and Lorcan, who is 3. So, Blake, welcome to the pod.
Thank you very much for having me.
So, what, you got like a 7-year-old, you've got a 3-year-old. We're currently in lockdown. Yeah. What's a typical day in your household?
A typical day at the moment is get woken up by the kids anywhere between 6 and 7 a.m. Then we're up, breakfast, sort things out, get ready for Autumn to be homeschooling by 9. And then she does her session. She does a couple of Zoom sessions. She does just some stuff with us while she's doing the Zoom sessions. We're also trying to make Lorcan kind of do some spellings and numbers and all that kind of stuff, which, you know, has its mixed kind of... some days he's up for it, some days he's not. But that's kind of us until, like, lunchtime, and then we repeat again till 3-ish, and then everyone's just kind of playing and mucking about until it's bedtime at around about 7-ish, and then we get some of our own life back.
Yeah, you do that thing, don't you, where you get to 7 and you go, right, I've got 2 hours, and then it starts again.
Yeah. It's hard to fit everything in, isn't it? Even with, like, it's so funny with the lockdown, because I was chatting to a mate of mine last night who's got no kids, and he was saying that he's tried learning guitar. He's tried making his own scented candles. He's tried all sorts of just random stuff. And I'm like, I haven't got time to fit anything in.
Look, the whole thing about this last year, everyone's going through their own stuff. No one's got it easy. So let's put them. However, people with kids have got it, I'm not going to say worse, they've just got it very differently. I've got a mate of mine exactly the same. He's phoning me up telling me he's bored. I'm like, that's not something you hear, is it?
It's impossible to be bored at the moment. There's always something going on. I mean, the other funny thing was, so my kids generally, like, they're pretty sensible. Like, Lorcan can be a bit more, you know, boisterous and put himself in a silly situation, but they're both pretty sensible. And the last thing you want to be doing during, like, a national or international pandemic is, you know, have to go to the hospital for any reason, other than something you have to go. And so, of course, a month ago, he decides to stick a raisin up his nose. He walked over to my wife and he just went, "Mummy, I'm stuck a raisin up my nose, sorry." Just so matter of fact. And we were like, how do we get it out? What do? We tried to get it out. His nose started bleeding. We were like, no, we have to take him. Like, I don't know what to do. You can't leave a raisin up his nose. Because we were like, the last thing you want to do with pandemic going on is go to where people with COVID might be.
Yeah.
But we had to. We had to go. But amazingly, the hospital was that kind of section was basically empty, so they were only there for a short period of time. And what they had to do is a little trick for people: if your son or daughter is as stupid as mine and sticks anything up their nose, you cover the nostril that's clear, and then effectively you give them mouth to mouth. You just breathe through their mouth, and then the raisin shoots out their nose.
Well, there we go. We've already kicked off this pod with a
great
tip.
Great tip.
That is a thing that I can imagine. I'd imagine if you Googled the percentage of, you know, kids getting stuff up their nose, I'd imagine it's quite high. It always reminds me, whenever I hear that, do you know what it reminds me of? Did you ever remember the I'm a Celeb with Fatima Whitbread?
I've watched a couple of series, but I don't remember that one, no.
Anytime I hear these kind of stories, right? So she's got one of those bowls on her head, cockroaches are inside the bowl, and a cockroach goes up her nose.
No.
And they had to stop it. And it looks, and they're basically doing exactly, they're shooting water up it. And a friend of mine works on the show, and they said in reality, that was like 25 minutes of a cockroach crawling inside her brain. And it freaks me out.
That's grim. So, I knew I would never ever do that show, and now I definitely know I will never ever do that show.
let's get into it, right? You've got lots of tips. You've come prepared. I know you have. I've got them in front of me if you need prompting. But what tip do you want to start with then, Blake?
What tip do I want to start with? Let's start with, I think, I suppose, the more broad and earnest of all the tips, and that is just to genuinely trust your own instincts. I think when you become a parent, or you're about to become a parent, you are bombarded with advice. The advice keeps coming and coming and coming, and whether it's from your parents or your partner's parents or mates that have got kids and all this kind of stuff. And you're just bombarded with advice. And I think you've got to be very careful who you take advice from, because the other thing to think, especially when it's coming from parents and stuff, is the world has changed. You know, there might have been 25, 30 years have gone by since they were parents of young children.
Yeah.
And the world has changed. So the way they did things doesn't necessarily apply anymore. And a lot of the time, I think you will know. There is something that happens when you become a parent where I think you just instinctually know a lot of the time when, you know, I mean, you can be a worrier. I'm a worrier. I'm sure that I've taken my son or daughter to the doctors when they didn't need it, or yeah. just to make sure and all that. But the majority of the time when I've done that, I've never had a doctor say to me, like, oh, you shouldn't have done it. You've wasted our time. It's always like, no, of course, better to be safe than sorry.
They never said leave the raisin in there.
They never said leave the raisin in there. No, they never did.
So when you say kind of like just it's going to be okay, that is that coming from a place where you say you weren't a worrier, but is that because there's been times where you've been barred with information and you're just questioning, am I doing the right thing?
I think that's it. I mean, I am a massive worrier, but I think that a lot of the time you can second guess yourself and question yourself. And that's in some ways that can be healthy. You want to, you know, make sure you're doing the right thing. But if you're second guessing yourself just because you were 100% sure you were doing the right thing and then so-and-so said this and you're like, oh, well, am I doing the right thing now? It's like, no, you... Generally speaking, your instincts probably will be correct.
Yeah, and also I think you mentioned about parents. It, like you said, it's been a while, probably 30 years since they're in the situation. And let's be honest, they're sugarcoating it. You know, I'm one of three and my mom will often go, well, I had three of you. You were all nappy trained by two. Were we? I mean, okay, yeah. Thanks for that.
Yeah, there's no way that they remember that for sure. There's just no way. And also, every child is so different. Every child's so different. They're like, what worked? Like, you know, my son and daughter, one of them would have been talking a lot earlier. One of them would have been walking a lot earlier. One of them would have been, you know, toilet trained a lot earlier, but the other one might have been dry overnight. And then the other one was struggling. Like that. All that kind of stuff. So they're all so different. And they've come from the same two sets of genes and they're all so different. So what's working for one child will not always work for the other child. And you just have to muddle your way through as best you can and get to a point where you go, oh no, this is what's right for my kid.
And do you know what? That kind of, without trying to go too deep into it, is that kind of a bit like the way you should almost approach the acting career, right? Because it's very easy if you're a performer or an entertainer to see other people doing things and go, oh, they're doing this. Oh, I should be doing this. And you start comparing and then you get to a point where you go, I'm just going to be me and my pace will be whatever my pace is. And then you just learn to accept where you are. And it sounds like you've done the same approach there.
I find it harder to take that approach with the acting, to be honest. I mean, I was chatting to a friend a while back. He said, comparison is the thief of joy. And I think there's a lot of truth in that. And especially with social media and stuff today, you know, you'll always be looking at, oh God, so-and-so that was my peer has now gone on and done this job, which I didn't even get an audition for. And well, what's wrong with me? Am I not being good? Am I not good enough? Or should I have done this differently? Or, you know, have I made the wrong choices? And I think the same can be said of parenting and stuff. And I think my wife has it from time to time. She'll scroll through Instagram and go, oh my God, so-and-so's only just had her third child and she looks like this. And I'm like, well, yeah, because their job is to look good because they're a presenter or whatever. And so they've had a child and then been in the gym with a personal trainer and paying for a nutritionist.
Yeah, no, I everything you're saying, my wife's got quite a good approach to it. Is exactly right. Instagram, social media, we all know we're only seeing a filter. We're only seeing that part of it. And every time, if you see people having a good time or whatever and they capture it on Instagram, my wife always goes, if quite right, she goes, what has he sacrificed or she sacrificed to get that content? So where they could have been enjoying their time and having a nice holiday or a nice day by taking 30 photos and putting it on Instagram, you've sacrificed that memory then.
Yeah.
So she's got quite a good thing of going, let's just try and remember just to like enjoy the thing and not try and sacrifice those moments to look good on Instagram.
Yeah. Oh, it's so important because I get sucked into it. I had from June of last year until kind of like November, I had 5 months off. I deleted the apps and I was just like, no, not touching any of it. I didn't go on social media for about 5 months. And I felt far more present, better with the kids, just better mentally as well. Mm. And then I've got back on it again. And you do get sucked into, oh, well, I haven't posted for 3-4 days. So, is that really boring for people following me? And it's like, who cares? Like, you're not posted because you're not going anywhere because you're on lockdown and you've got nothing to post. So don't force it. You know?
Right. Tell you what. So tell me about teeth.
Okay. Well, this is just a really silly one. But when cleaning teeth is like, you say, you know, you get the knee at the backs and all that stuff, and then you have to do the fronts, and you say, naturally, you're just like, okay, say cheese. And they just go, cheese. And then they you go back to normal. Cheese. And it like they, your teeth flash for like a second. And so we have to say, I've invented cheese, please, Louise. So they now, when we do the cheese section, we go, okay, you have to say cheese, please, Louise. They have to do it like a ventriloquist. So like cheese, please, Louise, while you're cleaning their teeth, just so that you can actually get to the teeth. And also just when we're doing the backs as well, there's this show on CBeebies or whatever called Swashbuckle.
Right, yeah.
If you know, and they do swashbuckle cheer, aha, like a pirate. And that's how I get them to do the R's as well. Go on, give me a swashbuckle cheer, aha. And then you're able to get all the R's, all the back, so, for the back.
When you were saying, please, cheese, Louise,
cheese, please, Louise. You have to get it right, mate. Cheese, please, Louise.
Look at that.
You know, you're asking very politely for Louise's cheese. So cheese, please, Louise.
Sorry, I lost my motivation now. Sorry. Cheese, please. You've invented a backstory. Cheese, please, Louise. I guarantee you, every single listener, when you were saying it, could not help but do the little actions with their mouth at the same time.
Cheese, please, Louise. There you go.
Yeah, it's funny. Everyone does say cheese, doesn't they? Like, no one tells you that as a parent, but we all do it.
It's just a natural smiling thing to do, isn't it?
Yeah. Right, so I tell you what is this? You sent me a note, right, about positive affirmations in the mirror.
Okay, I wondered if this would come up. So, I mean, look, it's a bit silly, and I haven't done it for a little while, to be fair, but I feel like I want to get back on it. But I kind of do it in different ways now. But I can't remember where I saw it or whatever, but it was this guy and his daughter, and he stood her in front. It was very American. Stood her in front of the mirror, and he was getting her to say, you know, things like, you know, I am clever, and I am funny, and I am beautiful, and I am kind, and I'm like just saying it in the mirror. And you know, they start off kind of looking at the floor like, oh, I am beautiful, I am intelligent. But when you're like, you want to give them confidence and you want them to feel like they can achieve anything, I kind of feel like them looking themselves in the eye in the mirror and actually saying that they can achieve it, saying that they are intelligent and kind and you know, beautiful and funny and all these things, I can't see how it wouldn't have a positive effect on them. So yeah, I've done that a few times.
So talk me through it, because I'm really intrigued, because I've never ever heard anything like, so what do you literally went, right, I'm gonna stand you on a stool, or like, I'm gonna hold you up, or
so we've got like a mirror in the hallway that's the
right, yeah
long length mirror, so they can just see themselves in the mirror and especially when I hear I can't do it, that's when I'll leap towards that. It's like if it's, you know, maths or whatever it is, and she's like, especially if they're getting a bit upset with it and they say, I just can't do it, and you can see they're getting frustrated. Take them away from it, get them to do a couple of deep breaths, and then get them to look in the mirror or whatever and just say a few positive affirmations, like what's good about them. And that they are intelligent and they can do it and they are funny and they are brave and they are strong and they're, you know, all of these things. And I think it can just, especially if they're saying it to themselves in the mirror, I am strong, I am intelligent, I am beautiful, and all these things. I just think they can then attack the problem they were having issues with in a much better way.
So you use it as a way of, like, as a disruptor to, like, get them out of the funk that they're in, and you just kind of, get them to
also
recalibrate
to build
a little
confidence.
Bit.
But definitely to build up their confidence and to just to give them the self-belief to go, well, I can do this. This is I can beat this. This is no issue for me. And, and a lot of the time they laugh doing it as well. Like, they know daddy's being a bit overly, again, it's a very American thing, it seems. And I feel like as British people, we sometimes see that kind of earnest behaviour and cringe slightly, you know. But it is maybe slightly silly, and they usually come away from it kind of having a little giggle about it all. And not only does it boost their confidence, but I think it has, as you said, it's disrupted and taken them into a place of like, oh, I'm in a happier place now.
But what, I mean, that even what you're saying there and doing, like, a lot of adults do that kind of either subconsciously, or they do that as ways of getting them out of themselves, out of stressful situations. Yeah. I suppose what it is, it comes back to this theory, isn't it, that all life is the way in which you communicate what is happening to yourself. So me,
okay,
and you,
yeah.
So me and you could both walk down the street, and I could go, oh, today's rubbish, isn't it? It's raining. It's this. I'm taking my surroundings, and it's computing into my brain, and it's landing as whatever it is, negative thoughts. You might take the same information and process it differently, and then come out with a completely different result in your head. So yeah. You might go, well, at least I'm walking. At least I'm with my mate. I'm walking down the street. I'm talking on this. So it's what you're saying there is that you were just getting them in a way to kind of learn to that they can communicate themselves to happy, or can change their mood by their own communication, if you know what I mean.
100%. I mean, yeah, I think that's really important to find the positives in things. And it's great for your kids to be able to do that. And I mean, one other thing about... harking back slightly to what my wife's kind of like meditative mindfulness stuff is, we caught my daughter the other day struggling. I don't know what subject she was struggling with, but she was struggling with something. And we both caught her just kind of put down her pencil and take two deep breaths. She took two deep breaths and then she picked up the pencil again.
No way.
And it was like, oh, she's doing that stuff. And that's the thing. Kids just are sponges, and they are way more intelligent than we even realize half the time. And they will just mimic and take some. That's why, I mean, in a lot of ways, it makes you realize how unbelievably vulnerable they are, that in the wrong kind of care or under the wrong kinds of influences, they can pick up so many awful, bad habits or opinions or any of this stuff. Because we've not necessarily, well, I think my wife probably does say, oh, take a deep breath to calm them whenever they're struggling with something. But, you know, the fact that she's seven and she's done what I fail to do a lot of the time. Like if I'm feeling overwhelmed by something, I'll sometimes just be punching the sofa or getting wound up, you know. And she's there, 7 years old, finding something a struggle and just taking two calming deep breaths and then has then gone back to it. And you're right. Like, it's a really proud moment. You're like, oh, this, you're dealing with that better than a lot of adults I know would deal with that. That's fantastic. Stress management for a child is that's really good, I think.
Do you know what? That's really interesting. When you said like positive affirmations in the mirror, I thought it was about you just going, don't run away from the kids. Stick around because lockdown, don't drink at midday. Come on, you can do this. That's genuinely, I thought that's what it was about. But yeah, oh man, that was awesome. Right, next piece of advice, please, Blake.
All right, well, I'm going to do a little cheeky plug here and get some points from the wife. So basically, my daughter was particularly struggling to sleep during the first lockdown. And my wife started doing these guided meditations with her to try and help her sleep. Because my wife's very into mindfulness stuff, and she does these guided meditations that other people put out there and stuff. And so she's done quite a lot of these now. And so she tried them on my daughter, but kind of took her to like, you know, like you're with your toys in Barbie World or whatever it would have been, you know, and all this kind of stuff. And slowly but surely, my daughter really enjoyed them. Constantly was requesting them and requesting different places to go to on this guided meditation. And my wife then started speaking to other parents at the school who also said that their kids were struggling with sleeping, particularly during like the lockdowns and all that kind of stuff. And my wife has decided to kind of start recording these guided meditations and put them out on like podcast forms. So it's called Your Floating Bed. And you can find it wherever you get your podcasts. And it's guided meditations for children. to help them sleep. And there's about 6 or 7 episodes up now, and they've gone to outer space and under the sea and on the beach and all these places.
Wow.
And they're really lovely and they really work. I mean, we play them over and over and over again to our kids. And the funny thing is that Lorcan, they really work on him, but he doesn't want to fall asleep. As soon as we put it on, he'll go, "Turn that off. I hate that. Turn it off." But then we leave him alone for about 5-6 minutes and he's gone. He's asleep. So they do work. But it's your floating bed.
Your floating bed. Right. I'm going to give it a go. I'll put it across my socials.
Just wherever you get your podcasts, just type in your floating bed and you'll find it.
No.
So yeah. But I tell you what, that is just in another, just to roll on to another tip, if you don't mind me doing
go,
that.
Do it, do it.
I don't know if you have this, but we've had it with both kids having a toy or whatever that they take to bed with them. And that's like their sleep toy.
Yeah.
I would say that is a danger. And then my son has got one of those. Is it you and the you, the sheep things? They do the same thing. And again,
that person has made a fortune, isn't it, among that sheep.
That's his thing. But he doesn't care about all the electronics inside. He doesn't care about the noises, anything like that. We ended up taking all that electronics out so that we could wash the bloody thing. He's had it for years now and it's so grim. He needs sheepy. He can't sleep. And it's just like, if you go away anywhere, if you forget sheep, it's a nightmare. There's been so many times where we've stuck him to bed and then he's been like, "Where's sheepy?" And I'm like, "I don't know." And then you have to go around the house looking at, and sheep's downstairs in one of his little toy boxes, been locked away somewhere. And you're like, he's gone to bed 20 minutes later than he should have done because you're there looking for this bloody sheep. And so that is always a dangerous. I mean, in some ways it's good because it's like, oh, I really want them to sleep. Here, have sheep. And then you know they're going to be knocked out quite soon or whatever. But it means that you are really... what's the word I'm looking for? But
tied.
You're tied. You're at the mercy of that toy or thing, you know.
Right. I tell you what. Let's close up. A few quick kind of simple questions we ask most people. First of all, we haven't even covered this.
Go on.
The raisin story might be up there, but what's your most embarrassing parent moment?
Ah, okay. Now I don't know if it counts as embarrassing because most of the time when they do something that a lot of people find embarrassing, me and my wife find it funny. And we laugh a lot of this stuff off. So I don't know that I would say it's embarrassing, but one story that I was just like, it was just a bad parenting moment. So I reckon Autumn was somewhere between 18 months and 2 years. I'm not 100% sure. She was saying a few things. She could have a basic conversation. I took her swimming for the first time I'd taken her swimming by myself.
Right.
And we were having the best time, like really great fun. I'm absolutely loving it. She's loving it. "Daddy, I've done a poo-poo."
So okay. Where are you at this point?
We're in the pool, obviously.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
of all the places you want to be, it's in the pool. Now, I pick her up and I notice that there's nothing's come out. There's no, like, whatever. She's wearing the swim nappies, but you can see that the discoloration on, like, you know, the kind of lining of the nappy's gone slightly yellowy. And I'm like, all right, let's go. And I'm just like, pick her up, take her out, take her to the changing rooms. I'm trying, you know, to keep her warm as well as, you know, trying to get her. I lay her down on the change mat, on those like table things that you pull down. And I open up the nappy and it is like a sea of poo. As soon as I open the nappy.
Oh, because it's just got water in it.
It's got all the water in it. And I was like, oh no. And like, I'm fine. I've never had a problem changing the nappies. It's fine. I can find a laugh out of it. This wasn't funny. This wasn't funny. And she was just lying in it, looking up at me as if like, well, I don't know. What do you got to deal with this? And I was like, oh no. And so obviously I'm there trying to clean it all up, get like so many wipes. I mean, I'm a dad that comes prepared. It's a military operation when I leave the house with the kids. Like, I've got the, you know, the wipes and the nappies and the extra nappies and all the drinks and everything, snacks. I'm good to go. And it's a good job I did because I was like, I was probably putting muslins down and mopping up. Ooh. And then I was like getting the wipes and obviously wiping her, wiping the mat, then wiping the tray underneath all. It was just everywhere. Absolutely everywhere. And after that I was like, I can't get back in the pool now. I'm just like, we both of us, I think, felt quite stressed out about the whole thing. So we just ended up going home.
Yeah, but do you know what, though, as well, right? You've done what a lot of people do, parents do, is you've gotten all the way, you've packed the bag, you've got all the swimming stuff on, you've gotten changed, you've got in the pool, that's happened. You're like, right, that's it. We're going home. It's cancelled. Like, some days you're like, oh, I can't. Just the energy just to get you to that point.
It was just, I mean, to be fair, I think we'd had a bit of time in the pool and stuff already anyway, but it wasn't like within the first 5 minutes or anything. But after dealing with all of that, you're like, I just need to go home now. I just need to go home.
That is a good, you get home and then he's put a raisin up his nose.
Yeah.
Okay, so we've talked about most embarrassing parenting moment. What's been your best parenting moment? And it can either be like a single moment or times where you go, that's a good time. Because I know, like, as parents, it's very easy to moan, isn't it?
Yeah.
And I do it daily.
And it is fun. And that's the thing. I think you can't, don't berate yourself for having a little moan about it, because it's hard. It's not easy. And no one's got it perfect. And, you know, we talked about Instagram and these filtered lives and everything. And if you're following stuff where people are putting up loads of stuff about their kids and stuff, they're generally only going to put up the good stuff or the funny stuff, or they're not going to put up the negative stuff. And that happens to everyone. So don't berate yourself if you are moaning and stuff. But it's hard for me to pick like one singular moment. But I think just at the moment, what I would say is in the lockdown, I'm just so glad I'm with them. I just like, the lockdowns are hard. You've got the homeschooling and all that stuff. But I wouldn't swap where I'm spent isolating and spending lockdowns and all that kind of stuff. I wouldn't swap with anyone, because as hard as it can be and as tiring as it can be, and how, you know, loads of people have got all these other, so much time to do other things with their lives and try new skills, the laughter that we get every single day, someone's doing something, whether it's a stick in a raisin up the nose or whatever it is, you know, they're just characters. They just come out with stuff all the time. And we just have such a good laugh together. They're always saying or doing something that just brings a smile to my face. And in this time, that's what you really need. Isn't
nice.
It?
Lovely. And I tell you what, here's a question then. So what's been the best thing that you've bought as a parent?
I have really struggled with this question.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I can't think of anything. I'm sure there's something I'm forgetting, but I remember...
Like it can literally be anything. It can be like the tiniest of things or a gadget that you use, or I'll flip it, something that was you thought was going to be a good buy and you were like, that was, don't buy that.
All right, well, it's not don't buy it, but it's just I was advised by one of the writers from The Inbetweeners, actually, when I was having my first kid. He was like, ah, you got to get this thing. We call it the ring of neglect. And we can just stick... It's this baby Einstein. Have you seen those baby Einstein? You stick,
no.
They're like, so it's like this... there's three levels to it. They sit in it when they're really young. And then when they're able to stand in it, they can stand in it. And it's just like this little activity centre with loads of stuff around. You can get jungle animals. You can get the under the sea stuff. And it's they sit in it and it's like a big plastic thing all the way around them. And they can turn around in it. And there's all sorts of toys on it. Yeah.
And then it turns into a table.
Oh, it doesn't turn into a table.
Oh,
it doesn't. Oh, okay, but it's probably one. Similar. It's probably similar.
Fine.
But it's just,
fine.
You know, like you spin the killer whale and you press the buttons and it makes the noises of shells or it says, you know, orange in Spanish, orange or whatever, it you know, naranja and all this kind of stuff. And you know, you stick him in that and he was like, we put him in this. He's loving life. He's just in there. He's not getting out. He can't hurt himself. And he's just playing with all the stuff and he's making the noises and he's spinning the things and loves it. Both my kids, you put them in it, 2 minutes, they want to get out. It's like, Dad, out. You know, it's like none of it. So, yeah, that was, for some kids, it clearly works. For mine, they couldn't care less about it. They're not interested.
Right. I'll tell you what then, final question. Blake, are you ready for the final question?
Go for it.
The final question is, if you could go back in time to the day before you became a dad, what advice would you give yourself?
Okay. It's a tricky one, but I think the one thing I would say is, and it's a cliche, and you don't realise it until you have got kids and they're growing up in front of your eyes, how fast the time goes. And it sounds like such an old man thing to say, that the time will evaporate in front of your eyes, both, you know, daily, because they take up so much of your time, but also in general, because you blink and they're quite a bit older and you're like, hang on a minute, when did you get that tool? Or hang on, how do you know how to say this word or that word? And they're developing so quickly, and staying present is so important. And it is something that you can struggle with in this day and age. Like, again, the social media thing, and what we talked about earlier, like how much of your job is based around social media nowadays. And I like to think that mine is far less so, but you still can't help but go, oh, but you know, maybe if I have more followers, it might open up a few doors here or there for me. And I hate saying that. I really hope it's not true. But you find yourself sometimes on your phone looking at social media or go, you know, taking ages to put up a post because you're like, oh, what am I? Is this the right wording for it? Should I even bother? And then you look around and you go, oh, the kids are playing and they're doing stuff, or they want you to get involved in something. And you have to put the phone down and go, no, like, come on, let's engage and be a good dad. And I think it's making sure you're present, just taking moments to go, it doesn't matter what's going on with work. It doesn't matter what we're doing tomorrow. It doesn't matter what's going on social media or the news or anything like that. I can look at that stuff when they've gone to bed, or I can find other time to do that stuff. Let me just be present with the kids, because I genuinely believe in 10 years time, Autumn will be, you know, 17 going on 18, and I'll be going, where's my little girl gone? And so if you're not enjoying it now, when they think you're brilliant and they think your stupid slapstick karate is actually funny, then you're not going to get it back later on. So you have to stay present now and enjoy it now, because those moments will be gone. And as much as you can have a lovely relationship with them when they're older, and I hope to have that, they won't be the same as what they are now. So it'll be a different thing. And I don't want to miss out on any stage. I want to be able to know every single stage and have every memory that I can have, or video on my phone that I can have, or whatever it is, of that stage and what they were like and what my relationship with them was like. I think that's a lovely thing to aim for and to find important.
So that was today's episode with fantastic Blake Harrison. Please, cheese Louise, you're going to use it. Come on, you know you are. Maybe that'll be the hashtag of this episode. Please, cheese Louise. Please, do us a favour. Please, cheese Louise, do us a favour. Subscribe. Please write a review. And just drop me a DM or a comment on socials. Let me know what you think. And I will see you next week.